Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. There is a lot going on in this greatest crime ever committed against humankind on this planet, in our incarnation, our period, our epoch. There have been many others before, I have no doubt. But this one is being ignored. Should be the top story in the so-called news community virtually every day, but it's not. Why not? Because they're in control of everything, and they don't want you to know how bad things are. So they're simply not going to let you have a clue. It's really that simple. The headlines on the health front, stemming essentially from the COVID catastrophe that has been unleashed on humankind, they're quite remarkable. They're every day they're just pouring in. Here, let me just read a few headlines after I welcome this wonderful young lady back to the program, our program, for you in our fourth year now. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, why don't you go get yourself a dish of ice cream or something and just kick back and enjoy things. Just take it
easy. Do I have enough time to do that?
You sure do. I'll let you have it. Go ahead.
No
problem. Get these. Just don't chew on the air. Don't chew ice cream, do you? You let it melt in your mouth. Senator Hawley, Josh Hawley, exposes. These are headlines that are up there right now. They'll be up there. Senator Hawley exposes the CIA creation of COVID-19. He's got a lot to say. Interesting. He's doing some pretty good work. Severe warning given about, this is up, I posted it. It's a story, a news story. Severe warning given about COVID bioweapon prions in the donated mass blood supply. We talked about this on Monday. This is a huge story. Again, this ought to be front page. It's not. And do remember, and you know this if you've been listening, that much of the world is suffering like we are. Dead people, dying people, vax-damaged, vax-destroyed people, all over the place. Here's a little quickie from Cyprus, the island nation of Cyprus. Excess mortality in Cyprus during the COVID epidemic. So they've got more dead people than they should have there, too. And they hide deaths. Remember the cause of death? When they put them on a death certificate, they can use anything they want virtually. Where's the other one here? I'm looking. Hold on. Some actor died suddenly at 29. Here's the big one. Heroic Japanese physician risks his life and his reputation to bring the truth about mRNA shots causing death and disease. There's a brave man. How many in America have done that? Can't actually think of one. They still call it a vaccine. It's not. Never was. Ottawa, Canada, a detective suspended for investigating babies who died from SIDS after the mothers took the jab. What is a pregnant woman taking an unproven anything when they're pregnant? I don't get it. You're supposed to guard your unborn child. Deaths surge 1,236% after COVID injections. 1,236% jump. Vaxxed deaths recorded as unvaxxed on the death certificate. They're saying they're unvaxxed to make the COVID shots appear safe. This is an official data revelation. Scientists decode deadly blood clot disorder triggered by COVID vaccines, COVID bioweapons. No surprise, that's what the injections were designed to do. Just a little quick glimpse at some of the headlines in this crazy, crazy attack on humankind, which is what it is. Nothing else. All right, did you finish your ice cream?
Yeah, I just put it into a bowl now.
All right.
I can pause.
Pause. The pause that refreshes. Remember that ad? What was that for?
Yeah.
The pause that refreshes.
Is that Fresca?
I can't remember. Something like that. Anyway. So this is a worldwide issue that most Americans do not express awareness of. People are dying all over the world. It's the same story. Yes, there were over 20 different countries making the mRNA kill shots, but they were making them to the same specs, and they were issued to people under the same general circumstances. And lots of people. You know, one place where a hell of a lot of people are dying is in the Philippines. They actually can't create cemeteries fast enough. One story, anyway.
It's, that's incredible.
It's out of control. Out of control.
And I if you thought we were making headway with you know, getting these things removed from the market.
No.
I just saw in a couple locations here that if you are in need of an organ transplant, they are still requiring you to be up to date on these COVID shots.
Right. That's, and many universities and colleges are forcing the students to, you get shot up.
Well,
you don't,
I mean, think about the, you know, in this case of a, you know, somebody that is obviously in dire straits if they're needing an organ transplant. And, you know, their organs may be failing for any number of reasons, not the least of which is it's been so damaged by Spike.
Right.
So now they have a choice to either submit to a toxic injection that will likely further cause, you know, deterioration in their physiology, or take a chance and get a Spike-infested organ. Are there any clean organs left?
No,
from the morgue?
No. I don't know that they're getting them from the morgue. I think they tend to take them. Well, if you're talking about the morgue in the hospital, that's where they would come from.
Well, typically they come from people who have died and have specified that they, you know, would like to donate their organs.
Right, and that's usually done.
And the people
that,
you know, when you're looking at an 80% vax rate, no matter which country, well, Western countries anyway, chances are the deceased are going to have organs that have been ravaged by these injections, either from the mRNA or the adenovirus or COVID itself, the virus,
COVID
or
itself.
Spike.
Yes, or shedding. Don't forget, that's another vector that we talk about here all the time. Polly, amazing Polly, said something that we have been cautioning about for a long time here, and it's great to see her say it. She's been aware of it too. She said simply, after watching a Tucker Carlson 2 hours plus interview with Jeffrey Sachs, talk about legitimizing people. There's Tucker. She's showing a little clip of it. Tucker looks like he's gained 20 or 30 pounds.
Yeah, wow. He does.
He's bloated, whatever. All right, so Polly looked at this and had to make a statement. I am running out of ways to express the obvious takeover of alt media by the worst people on earth. I noticed them trying to reform Jeffrey Sachs' reputation last year, but never did I expect to see him on Tucker. So there you go. Anyway, and many of you are aware of that. We've said it over again and over again. The alt news media is just as dangerous, if not worse, than the mainstream media. Mainstream media is pretty uniform in its mind control. The alt news goes all over the place. Dozens of different complete misinformation cul-de-sacs to go down, nonstop phonies and frauds being launched and placed on the alt media. It's very dangerous. You've got to be very sharp before you go walking in there looking for what you think is reality. It's a very dangerous
thing. Yeah, it's true. And yeah, I think it's getting more dangerous by the day, especially with AI.
AI is so, it's gone. The barn door is open. It's gone. It's running rampant, and they're not going to pull it back. It teaches itself every
right.
day, 25 hours a day. It teaches itself, and it gets better. And if you remember, I think I mentioned this, Sam Altman, Sammy, at OpenAI, I think this is why he quit or was forced out at that point and rehired. The OpenAI, what would you call it, at the administrative side of it, They had a whole department, a division, to do nothing but monitor AI's growth, its potential to run loose, its potential to do things that are not wanted. In other words, going rogue and ethics. Well, that whole division of trying to watch AI during its development has been dissolved by Sam Altman. They just got rid of it. So there's no agency, there's no oversight over AI growth and development. It's wide open now. It's the Wild West. And AI, believe me, is running a lot of the show you see now. So many of the videos you watch online have AI voices, AI scripts, AI imagery. It's there. So you have to ask yourself, what is real anymore? What's real and what's AI? And there are no laws forcing AI labels to be put on anything. So you don't know. And your reality, which comes from the screen, is now completely corrupted. It is whatever they want it to be. And you do not know. You have no proper choice to make. They're not letting you have that choice. It's AI. And we haven't seen anything yet. Just wait.
Yeah. Yep.
What flavor ice cream do we have? Chocolate chip?
Yeah.
What was that?
Okay, go ahead.
Never mind. I was just thinking about ice cream again. I like to get away from this grim negativity. It's not fun. So a bowl of ice cream, good. Anyway. AI. It's running faster and taking more control than most anybody could imagine. I tell you that sincerely. You just don't know. So what will be real and what won't be real? In a way, they are completely controlling reality. Think about it. Because if the viewer of the screen doesn't know that something is AI, AI written, AI conceived, AI created, and AI presented, what is real? AI is real, apparently. All right, anything you want to add to that? Then we're going to go on.
No. Nope, go ahead.
There's no way to detect AI. They're not, you don't have to put a watermark on a video, this AI production or whatever. It's real. It's being presented as real. And we're already there. There's no recalling that and rewinding. You're not going to go back. It's loose. And Altman's OpenAI, they want it that way. Because the first person who gets to AGI, and I think they're already there, is in the lead. But the person who ends up with, what did they call it? The next one up. ASI? Anyway, it's super intelligence. I think it's ASI. They will own the show. So this is really wild. Dr. William Mackus is talking again. He's an oncology expert, oncologist in Canada, and he's trying to warn people and bring them up to date on his knowledge about cancer. And he put out about a 15-minute piece on turbo breast cancer rising. Oh, you bet it's rising. We're seeing this a lot. So what else is he going to say in this? We're going to play this and listen to it.
Well, it's how they're kind of conflating the numbers. Well, you'll see. It's called a limited hangout. So they're admitting to a rise in cancer, but they're using statistics up until 2019. They're not including the last few years where something rather significant happened.
Right.
So and that's, of course, by intent. So they're offering an explanation of why we're seeing. They're not offering an explanation. They're just saying that the trend has been going up.
Well,
but if they included the last few years' data, you would see that it's not just going up. It's you know, going off the charts.
That's completely true, and it's. How do you pull it back? You can't. It's out of control. This is out of control. Here's Dr. William Mackus talking about turbo breast cancer rates out of control.
Welcome to another episode of 50 Minutes with Dr. Makis, my hard-hitting new medical podcast. Young COVID-vaccinated women are coming down with extremely aggressive breast cancers. These are women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and they're coming down with stage 3, stage 4 cancers after taking Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 vaccines. This is a phenomenon we have not seen before. This phenomenon is called turbo cancer. I've covered it extensively. I've written over 50 articles on turbo cancer. The medical establishment is denying that this is happening. The media has been denying that this has been happening until recently. In the past 2 weeks, media in the United States, Canada, and the UK are finally admitting that there's a skyrocketing number of cases of young women coming down with extremely aggressive breast cancers, that this trend is on the rise. However, there's a catch. When you look into the stories, what they kind of hide is that they're using old data. They're using data only up to 2019. So they're withholding data from 2020 until now for the past 5 years. And what they're presenting is breaking news of a trend that is happening right now, but they're doing it with old data.
It doesn't get any more disgusting than that. That's a fact. They should be talking about and using real-time, real data, but they're using old data. And they're having to admit, even with the old data, they had a surge. And now it's multiplied by I don't know what. This is not good.
Show you what that looks like. This was a story by the Daily Mail, and it talks about how breast cancer screening age has been officially lowered from 50 to 40 amid worrying rise of disease in young women. You would think that this, they're talking about a rise that's happening right now. They even give us a graph that shows from 2020, the estimated rise in breast cancer, or now this is cancer rates in people under 50 for women, is about 20%, and this includes breast cancers. Interestingly, the big news is that there's a group in the U.S., this U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, that has finalized recommendations to drop the breast cancer screening age from 50 to 40 amid rising cases of the disease in women under 50. And they feature actress Olivia Munn, 43 years old, who's recently been diagnosed with breast cancer. The New York Times has covered this recommendation as well. This is a story from April 30th, breaking news.
By the way, hold on, one little quickie. He just showed us a graph that you can't see. And in this chart, from 2020 thereon up to the current time, the graph line goes up at a 45-degree angle, straight up, 45, both in men and in women. Now, remember, a lot of men end up with breast cancer, too. That's something that most people don't really understand or talk about much. Here we go.
Breast cancer screening should start at age 40, an expert panel said, citing rising breast cancer rates in young women and reversing guidance, most women wait until 50. So this is big time breaking news, except when you look into the New York Times article, which is behind the paywall, what they tell you is that they're talking about data from 2015 to 2019. So if you were going to say, well, this rising trend is happening and it's due to the vaccines, they've trapped you, they caught you, they said, aha, but we're talking about data only up till 2019. It cannot be the vaccine and we've caught you. Same phenomenon happening in Canada. Look at these articles. Too young to have breast cancer. Rates among young Canadian women rising. This is from April 26th, so just about a week and a half ago. And again, they're using old data that goes only up to 2019. Another article, this was actually a video from CTV News, showing us women in their 20s have seen a 45% increase in breast cancer rates. But again, they're using old data that only goes up to 2019. So why would they do that? Why would they tell us there's breaking news, but then use very old data? This is something called a limited hangout. A limited hangout is a technique that was developed by the CIA. And I'll give you the definition of what a limited hangout is. When their veil of secrecy is shredded and they can no longer rely on a phony cover story to misinform the public, they resort to admitting, sometimes even volunteering, some of the truth while still managing to withhold the key and damaging facts in the case. The public, however, is usually so intrigued by the new information that it never thinks to pursue the matter further. While used by the CIA and other intelligence organizations, this tactic has become popularized in the corporate and political spheres. This is what they're doing with the skyrocketing cancer rates in young women who've had COVID-19 vaccines. They're doing a limited hangout. And what they're doing is that they give us a little bit of the truth, which is, yes, this phenomenon is happening to young women right now, but they are withholding key and damaging facts of the case. What are the key and damaging facts? They're withholding the data since the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, because if we had that data and it was clean data, that data would show that there's a skyrocketing trend of breast cancers in young COVID-vaccinated women. Cancers.
As I mentioned, it's 45 degrees straight up on the graph since 2020 and the rollout of the bioweapon injections. 45 degrees straight up, both for men and women. Whoop. Hold on, the screen just jumped. Let me... I'm going to have to move it back up. All right. Where is this? He's got... Okay. Let me get back to where it was. All right. Here we go.
...to the health authorities, and they have basically stripped him of his medical license and have persecuted him ever since. So I want to show some of the clips and some of the brilliant work that Dr. Charles Hoff had done. These are absolutely fascinating clips when you look back in retrospect.
I now have 10 patients in my small practice who are literally disabled after their first shot. And so I had set out to investigate actually the cause of their vaccine injuries and found that it was due to microscopic blood clots. And found that, in fact, 50% of people who get these shots have evidence of microscopic blood clots from a blood test called a D-dimer.
Microclotting is happening, you heard right there from Dr. Hoff, in at least 50% of the people who took the shots. It's probably higher than that. I would suggest it might even be 90 to 100. I think everybody is going to end up spike damaged, and the spike causes microclotting. And we do have that picture, that one picture that I keep referring to, and it shows the blood, and in the blood are little clots floating around. Lots of them. And they're amyloid clots. They look like a farm. They're just seeds everywhere. So, yeah, not good. Anything to add there?
Did you go back to the right video?
Yeah, unless the screen completely jumped,
I think you're onto another video, but that's fine.
That flashed. The whole thing flashed then. Interesting, because I went back to about where I was. And all right, let's go a little bit further with this, and I'll jump. I'll see. It is a different video. How did that happen? It was a flash, and then whatever. Hmm. All right, here we go.
Finding people who have recently had their COVID shot within the previous 7 days, it needs to be between 4 and 7 days, and doing a blood test on them called a D-dimer. And so I'm still trying to accumulate more information, but on the ones I have so far, 62% of them have evidence of clotting, which means that these blood clots are not rare. It means that the majority of people are getting blood clots that they have no idea that they're even having. So, Laura Lynn, the most alarming thing about this is that there are some parts of your body, like your heart and your brain and your spinal cord and your lungs, which cannot regenerate. When those tissues are damaged by blocked vessels, they are permanently damaged.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about that. D-dimer, that was an interesting thing. It was quite early on when I started seeing very disturbing neurological problems in my own patients. And I wrote a letter to our local health authorities to ask, to say, please just, you know, effectively, what is the mechanism of action? What has happened? What is the mechanism
breast
of
cancer.
Injury of this shot? And how should I treat it? And I was told that this is not from the shot. These are all coincidences. So I thought that was absurd because 85% of all the neurological problems were starting within 72 hours of the shot. So it was absurd to say that they were coincidences. So I after getting some wonderful inspiration from Sukrit Bhagdi, who's a brilliant scientist who's now in Germany, and after discovering that these shots go intravenous, that they don't just stay in your arm, I realized that the spike proteins, because of where they were being absorbed, were going to be absorbed into the vascular endothelium, which is the cells around blood vessels, and most of it would be in the capillaries because that's where absorption happens.
Okay, I pulled the other video back up. How'd this happen? I have no idea. Let's go back to the first video and see where we go with Dr. Makis. This is the turbo breast cancer. But that was interesting with Dr. Hoff. By the way, he's looking rather worn. I don't know if you noticed that.
I'm not sure how old that clip is. That sounds like it might be from a couple years ago.
A couple years old, yeah. But to walk this road is a tough one for honorable people. Very difficult. All right, let's see where we are on this.
Was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer in May of 2023 and died 8 months later in January of 2024. So diagnosis the death of only 8 months, and it goes to show you that these cases of COVID vaccine-induced breast cancer have an extremely poor prognosis. Oncologists simply don't know how to deal with these cases. 32-year-old hairstylist from Florida, Heather Curley, diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer that has spread everywhere, spread to the liver, to the spleen, to the stomach, thyroid, bones. This is very aggressive spread, and that's what these COVID vaccine-induced breast cancers do, is they grow very rapidly, they present at stage 4, but they also are very aggressive in their spread.
He said stomach, bones, thyroid. It goes everywhere. So to even call it breast cancer, that's just the point of origination. It apparently goes anywhere, and it transits by the blood, I would guess. That's how it spreads.
I have reported on women as young as 19 years old. This is a 19-year-old student at the University of Montana, Keira Kena, was studying communications, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer at 19. I have reported on 22-year-olds being diagnosed with breast cancer, a 23-year-old opera star from Slovakia, Patricia Janečková, was diagnosed at the age of 23. She died about a year and a half after her diagnosis. 23-year-olds. Again, a lot of these are going to be university students who were mandated COVID-19 vaccines, and you're going to see other mandated professions such as teachers. Here's a 24-year-old teacher, Brittany Sanchez in Odessa, Texas, was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She was in remission briefly, and then her cancer returned and had started spreading very aggressively.
We should mention that stage 4 is a very bad, stage to be diagnosed. How is it that somebody could not know that there's something radically wrong with them to the extent that they're coming down with a stage 4 diagnosis with no prior knowledge? And that's not just breast cancer. That's other cancers. We've heard many stories about that. How does that happen, that you just don't know? It's that
well, that
silent
part of the
killer?
Immune system is turned off. You know, we've mentioned that many times.
That's the
that
answer.
That innate immune response has been disabled.
P53, It's shut down. So you're not getting any
symptomatic
signals.
Well, that's one part
signals.
Of it. But, right. you know, your killer T cells, they're not functioning normally. The T lymphocytes aren't functioning normally. So you're not able to identify correctly, cells that have been transformed that should be eliminated. Body can't do it.
It's very difficult, to put it mildly, this whole thing. It's crazy. All right. This jumped again. So I swear, if I were paranoid, I'd say somebody's interfering here. This is really strange. Let's see if I can get it to play.
And they're coming down with stage 3, stage 4.
Oh, I got to move it forward again. All right, here we go.
COVID-19 vaccines, and you're going to see other mandated professions such as teachers. Here's a 24-year-old teacher, Brittany Sanchez in Odessa, Texas, was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She was in remission briefly, and then her cancer returned and had started spreading very aggressively. So this is a very real phenomenon. Now, I've been attacked recently by a couple of individuals who've been stalking me for about a year and who are extremely upset that I am talking about turbo cancer specifically. Now, they are big pharma operatives. The first one is, her name is Dorit Rice. She's a professor of law at UCSF. And apparently she teaches law, writes about vaccines and law. I don't know if she has any expertise in vaccines or experience. Doesn't seem like she has any credentials to be talking about vaccines. Here she is actually taking a jab, pictured herself taking a jab. So clearly not a bright individual. And she has been engaging in defamation and just ad hominem attacks. Yesterday, she posted an article by David Gorski. This is an oncologist in Detroit, Michigan. And this is the title: Anti-vaxxers just aren't giving up on their ridiculous turbo cancer nonsense. And so apparently I am making this up, and this article attacked me directly and slandered me defamed me directly. I'll give you a quote from the article. And they talk about the evidence for turbo cancer. They're quoting my Substack, and they say that this evidence comes from disgraced and delicensed nuclear medicine doc, Dr. William Mackes, one of the originators and now one of the foremost promoters of the turbo cancer lie. Listen, if I was lying about this, I would be outed within 24 hours. There are thousands of these cases on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on social media. So who is David Gorski? And for him to say disgraced, let's see what Mr. David Gorski's background is. Apparently, he has connections to child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. And he even posts about it in 2019. Yes, as dirty as it makes me feel to realize now that back then I was affiliated with a group in which Epstein had invested. I'm curious to learn just what that connection was. He plays dumb here. Apparently, he didn't know that Epstein had funded his blog. Apparently, this was Jeffrey Epstein had invested into this Seed Media group that a number of science blogs came from, including David Gorski's blog, for which he wrote for 11 years, including the attack that he just made on me about the turbo cancer that Dorit posted yesterday. So I don't know if these allegations are true or not, but these allegations are there. David Gorski apparently receiving funding from a child sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein. So these are apparently the kinds of people that are attacking me. And talking about disgraced, I think being affiliated with a child sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein, is the very definition of disgraced. Here's some other allegations. I don't know, again, with apparently other child abusers that David Gorski affiliated himself with. I don't know if these are true or not, but we'll sort of leave it there. So that covers it for this episode.
Okay. He's right over the target. They're going after him for sure. And I hope that he can withstand it. That's pretty ugly stuff that's being, having been smeared and defamed for a long time, It doesn't make you feel good. It makes you feel rather helpless, frankly. Not much you can do about it. These people own the courts. They've got connections. And I think he was very correct in pointing out the things he just did. If Gorski is involved with Epstein, well, track it from there. Epstein was a Mossad agent. Everybody knows that now. So this is coming down from probably a Mossad directive. Get Mackis. Shut him down. He's causing too much trouble. Not good. And one wonders if that photo of that law professor at UCSF getting an injection was actually getting a real bioweapon or just something harmless. I rather doubt if they're going to sacrifice their own, but they might. You never know. This is all just crazy. I didn't know that was in this video, that Mackis was being defamed like that and was standing up to defend himself. Good for him.
Yeah, they've come after him pretty relentlessly. Well, he's exposing, you know, exactly what's happening.
He's telling the whole truth.
Yeah.
This thing about, though, getting to stage four with your immune system failing to alert you because it's been disabled, if not destroyed to a very large degree by the spike and the mRNA vaccine itself, the bioweapon, I get why, but for goodness sakes, if it's that bad with turbo cancer and they decide to turn loose H5N1, the avian influenza virus, which has been tweaked allegedly, and 81% of Americans, that's the latest figure I have, I just got that today, have taken the shots, and 81% of Americans have compromised or crippled or now deficient immune systems, they won't stand much of a chance against a vicious H5N1 release. It'll go right through them.
Probably.
And we could have a very high case fatality rate among the
vaccinated. The real danger here now is that they're able to withstand an infection with the SARS-CoV-2 virus anyway. Walk around and spread it and make other people sick. I mean, you know, that's been going on since the rollout of the vax.
Exactly.
Just about every person that got the vaccine ended up getting COVID at some point, sometimes more than once, and spreading it to others, you know, creating variants, mutants. And they even said early on back in 2021 that the average vax person had 220 times the viral load of SARS-CoV-2.
You mean just resident in their body?
It was, I think, 200% or 222 times. It was significant that they could carry a much, much higher viral load.
So they were carrying without symptoms. They were just carrying that.
Yes. It would take, you know,
that's
they could
really
multiply that virus to
that's a shocker.
Very, very high levels before they would exhibit any symptoms, and the whole time they could be spreading it, and they did spread it. You know, how many unvaxxed people were caught unaware? You know, they'd spend time with somebody who was vaxxed, and they didn't realize they were either infected with the virus or shedding the protein, and some are still sick to this day, unvaxxed.
Wow, yeah. Okay. Let's jump over to our reader file here and see what we've got there. We'll have more on Dr. Mackis. We want to try and stand with him and give him the publicity he needs to try to hold off these vile attacks, which are coming from, I would say, Intel, Mossad, CIA, etc. They're all in bed together with this nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other way to look at it. When you see Epstein up there, he's one of the all-time classic Mossad operatives.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, like I say, who's reasonably aware of that whole thing understands that already. Okay, May 29th. Where do we want to start here? Let's start with secondhand shedding. That's another thing that just doesn't get the attention it should. I've never seen it talked about most anywhere else. If I've seen it anywhere, it's been here.
No one else is talking about it.
No. Why don't you go ahead and take those two? They're both there in the middle.
Okay. Someone says, all right, my brother vomits blood. He is not jabbed, but his girlfriend is. We know how it works. Test didn't show up anything yesterday. What to recommend to find out what's happening?
And let me say one thing about that. Again, tests are negative. The tests are almost invariably negative in the beginning because they're not looking for the right things.
Right.
It's crazy. All right.
Well, that had many responses.
You want to read any of the responses? Go ahead.
I took one. She says, my best friend wasn't vaxxed either, but her boyfriend is boosted as many times as they come. Now she has stage 4 lung cancer and bone cancer, liver, and more.
There it is.
We just found out that it mutated from non-small cell cancer to small cell cancer. I believe the shedding is real. She never smoked. She has a kidney transplant and was on meds for that. She is starting chemo tomorrow.
These people are not, I don't want to say it, but they're not going to recover. They're gravely ill with stage 4, which is mercilessly transiting all around their body and setting up shop everywhere. It's not staying confined because the body can't withstand it. It just goes where it wants.
Well, you know, the lesson here is that this person's unvaxxed.
That's why we read it. It's secondhand shedding. Well, that's first-hand shedding, I guess, in that case. All right. Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
All right. Here we go. I sell door-to-door. The amount of recent bereavements I'm seeing doing home visits is crazy. So here's a door-to-door salesperson. I didn't know they did that much anymore. They used to sell vacuum cleaners that way.
Fuller Brush Man.
Yeah. Red Skelton starred in that movie in the late 40s, by the way. The amount of recent bereavements I am seeing doing home visits is crazy. I was at one house this week. The man had had heart problems, clots, and cancer. Not long left. I said to him, you think this might be vaccine-related? No, he barked at me. COVID saved my life. Oh, my. He had the juice, and then he got COVID. And then in the hospital, they detected a bad heart and the clots. He is totally of the belief that COVID and injections have saved him. Effing mind boggles. He is dying super fast. There is a super brain high IQ individual, intelligent, but an effing idiot in total denial. I said, why has the AstraZeneca been withdrawn worldwide then? I would even think on it for a moment. The answer is obvious. Anyway, crazy.
Despair. Yeah, the way people rationalize
that
their health
the
issues after these injections, it is mind-boggling.
The aggressiveness of the denial is one of the big indicators there you want to look for. They can't face it.
And I am detecting a fair amount of hostility lately. I mean, you know, this has been mentioned for some time in the groups, that there does seem to be a underlying sense of hostility among a lot of the vax people. Now, I don't know if, you know, on some level they know they screwed up, they know they were lied to, they know that they are facing probably some intractable health issues.
That's
eventually,
a good word,
if not already.
Correct. Now, this goes back to the earlier stories we were getting and posts about people beginning to show a change in their personality and most usually a hostile change in their personality. That was common.
Mm-hmm. And it still is. I don't know if it's getting worse or it's probably becoming more widespread because you know, you can't keep this a secret much longer. There's just too much of it.
No,
and, you know, even Ray Charles can see it. My God.
It's an old joke, isn't it? Ray Charles. I bet a lot of people listening don't even remember Ray Charles. Okay. Despair. I can't keep hoping something is going to change. I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want to grieve the life I had anymore. I don't want to be in constant physical pain. I don't want to have a brain that keeps deteriorating. I don't want to be so full of hate. I don't want to feel so alone. I don't want to look in the mirror and see a dying person looking back at me anymore. And someone responds to that, I feel for you. And another, this year, it's all mental stuff, and it's so difficult. I wonder what's coming next year. This stuff is never going to leave us alone. What a nightmare. And he is right. It's not going away. It's now part of the landscape. It's indigenous to the species and our biophysiology. It's not going away. This is a genetic fixture now. We are genetically wrecked with this stuff. Okay.
How about pericardiectomy? Fail.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that yesterday.
Now
this is crazy. All right, the pericardium is the sac around the heart that kind of protects it. Pericarditis is an inflammation of that pericardium sac, a bag around your heart. Go ahead.
Well, I think we had first heard about this as a treatment option about a year ago. And when I first heard it, I was stunned. I couldn't. What?
It boggled my mind. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
They're literally going to remove the lining around the heart because, well, the lining's inflamed and it's causing pain, and they're just going to take it out. And I couldn't even fathom it. Well, here we are a year later, and this guy is reporting back.
It sounds like a growing business, doesn't it?
I think a number of people had this done. You know, when you're in that kind of pain, you probably try pretty much anything, especially if somebody in authority is recommending it.
Right. Pericardiectomy. All right, go ahead.
Please don't get a pericardiectomy thinking it will help. I was so desperate for normalcy that I agreed to it. This vax-induced heart pain isn't classic, peri. My pain is so much worse since I got the surgery a year ago, even though I was told it would either stay the same or get better. I know some people are considering it, but please don't ever get it done. It doesn't help, and it makes things unbearable. And guess what? The surgeon just told me to go to the pain clinic when I complained of the pain worsening. He shrugged and said, I did my job, and that was it.
Take his license. Take his license immediately. That is not okay. I did my job. Good luck.
No one cares.
Go get some pain meds. No.
I have been stuck in bed for 6 months now at my parents' house. I can't even walk anymore. No one is able to tell me why I got so much worse after the surgery. I sent an application to the Mayo Clinic, but they denied me after going through my records, saying it doesn't look like they have anything more to add. I don't know how they could deny someone so sick and in pain. Again, no one cares, and they just say, I'm sorry you're going through this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so sounds a little gothic to me, a pericardiectomy. It's like removing part of your heart, the whole heart system. You're just cutting it out.
It sounds barbaric.
It sounds middle-aged, medieval. It's weird. That's crazy. All right. Post-vaccine bladder misery. Now, this is something we hear a lot about. UTIs, or what they think are UTIs. Hi, everyone. I hope you're well. My name is Sarah, and I'm in the UK. I had my second AstraZeneca vaccine in June 2021. The batch number I had apparently was part of a batch that was made in India or something like that. My research and little knowledge, a week later I developed what I thought was cystitis. Just it's never gotten better, only worse. To the present day, I have constant bladder pain and glass shard feelings in my urethra. That's not fun. This is bad.
No.
Bladder pain and the feeling of glass shards in the urethra. And this happens on standing up. I feel like my bladder is also going to fall out. I know that sounds strange. I've lost all control of my bladder and have lots of accidents. I have to use the toilet up to 10, get ready for this, 10 to 20 times an hour all day. I have had to just sit on the toilet for hours at a time. And when I stand up, I have to go again. Urology have done the tests, and the tests tried different medicines. Tried putting a catheter in, but nothing helps. On some tests, they could see my bladder is contracting constantly, which they say is the brain telling it to. So it's a neurological thing. Go ahead, finish.
I do think it's connected to the jab, and it has ruined my life. I've gone to vaccine claim court, been refused twice. The last time they said it's just cystitis, which made me furious. I'm going for round three. It's not even about the money. It's just getting someone to admit that, yes, it's the jab that has done the damage. It's just so difficult to prove, and in lots of research online, other ladies have had bladder issues but can't seem to get very far with getting proof. Just wondering if anyone else has had similar or could offer any advice. I'm kind of losing my fight. I'm waiting to see urology once again, but the list is 18 months. My GP even said it upsets her that she cannot help. Just a waiting game, but I want some justice. I know my things are not as serious as other poor people who have lost their lives or people with heart and neurological damage, but this has ruined every part of my life. I cannot function normally anymore. If I leave the house, I have an accident. It's miserable.
Yeah, she's probably having
to go
to a diaper.
Can't even imagine.
Here's another life ruined. And these people you'll still see walking around, a lot of them, and they look like they're sort of normal, but they're not. They're struggling against horrific injuries. So an 18-month wait in the national health system in the UK to get an appointment with a urologist. And she said that her doctor is very upset because she can't help. Apparently it's a bureaucratic catch-22. She has to go to the urologist, and her doctor's out of it for right now. Can't get involved until she goes through the process. That's NHS over there.
Incredible. And what are they going to do in 18 months? It's the same thing they just did. These people don't have the answer.
No.
Now, there were a number of decent replies that she got from posting that. You know, my guess is she might have oxalate crystals, because many of these people have issues with their metabolism, and they build up oxalates. You need B6 to deal with oxalates. And oxalates can do a number on the bladder. But they're not going to look for oxalates. They'll do their scans and their blood tests and
those tests
throw their hands
come
up.
Back negative. How many times have you heard us say this, reading these things? All tests were negative. All tests were negative. They're not looking for the right things. They don't come up with a good profile on the patient. And it's not happening. So these people are just left to swing in the wind. No mercy.
Well, I imagine she'll be given probably, I don't know, painkillers or muscle relaxants or, drugs to mask the symptoms.
Always. That's the way of the game. That's how they play it. Yeah. All right. We are late. We have to run. Thank you. That was another survey of an astonishing set of circumstances we are now in. 81% of Americans at least injected with the bioweapons and damaged. If the shot was competent, they're damaged, whether they feel it symptomatically or not. Doesn't matter. They're on the way.
Yep.
All right.
I agree. Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
We'll be right back with Hour 3 in just a few minutes. Hold on. Crazy.